Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you, John?
I am good. Good.
Excellent. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Fine. But good to be here.
You know, I'm surprised you're not better considering it's Pi Day.
Oh, that's a good point. Now I'm fine.
All right.
Now I'm good.
3.14159265358973238246.
Did it just get hot in here? That was pretty awesome, John. It was. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is GoDaddy. They have a discount for you guys. I'll tell you about that soon. But what I want to talk about right now is the 10.5-inch iPad. And here's the deal. We've had these rumors going around that we're getting a new size, not a replacement size, but a new size.
So additional size.
Thank you. So we'll have 7.9-inch iPad mini size, 9.7-inch, which is the iPad stand. You know, what are we calling that now? Just iPad
Pro Nano Mini.
Geminately. And then, of course, we have the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. And in between those two, we're going to have a 10.5-inch iPad. That's what the reports are claiming. And now we have a new report saying that we'll see this new 10.5-inch iPad in April. And it will be the first product that Apple announces at the Steve Jobs Theater at Apple Park, which is the whole new campus, the spaceship campus that's been under construction for a while now. So we have that, and one of the things that we've all been coming back to is, what's up with the size? And John, I have a feeling you have something to say on that.
I think I know. I have a theory. I did a little bit of Google searching this morning, and I think I've confirmed it. The first blush reaction to this is, why would Apple introduce this kind of size from a form factor and a size increment reason? And there isn't a really good reason to do that. And then I started thinking about panel manufacturing. And I believe there's a 10.5-inch Galaxy Tab panel that Samsung is using. And so my first reaction was, aha, there is a 10.5-inch panel that perhaps uses a slightly better, maybe an improved technology, not OLED, but maybe just a better LCD TFT that Apple wants to use. Maybe it's less expensive. Maybe it has some features that Apple wants to exploit. Maybe it's a panel that's in high production already and Apple can get a lot of them or as many as they wish. And so it's not a question of finagling a size partner within the trio. It's a question of buying a panel that meets Apple's requirements and standards and is readily available, something that Samsung's already making, and Apple wants to use it. So that's my theory.
But that argument would apply more logically to Apple replacing the 9.7-inch device with a 10.5-inch device than it does augmenting the product line.
I have an answer to that.
Okay.
All right. I'm waiting.
So Apple wants to sell a lot of iPads. So discontinuing the 9.7, which is probably available because of the years of manufacturing. Probably this is an older technology panel that Apple can get at a lower price. And so one can suspect that Apple would continue to sell iPad Air 2s maybe at a great lower price to entice people into the product. And then the 10.5-inch would maybe assume the mantle of the Pro along with its big brother, the 12.9.
Well, the rumors that we had along these lines, was that a month ago, 6 weeks ago, Jeff? We talked about it.
Yeah, right.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Thereabouts? Those rumors said that there would be an updated iPad Pro 9.7-inch, the additional 10.5-inch, and then an updated iPad Pro 12.9
inch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that never sat well with me. It didn't make any sense with me either. But there were significant, you know, there was that preponderance of evidence that I'd look for in Apple rumors to, you know, for hitting that point that they seem legit. I said at the time, I can't wrap my head around why Apple would do that. And I stand behind that. It's hard for me to see Apple releasing. It is not hard for me to see Apple replacing the iPad Pro 9.7 inch with the iPad Pro 10.5 inch. I can dig that, especially if it's the same form factor size, same footprint.
I'm there with you. Yeah.
But the rumors are that Apple will also have a new iPad Pro 9.7 inch, and that is hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm with you, Brian. And what we're hearing right now is that Apple wants to target business and education with the 10.5 inch iPad. And to that, I say, how? What is it that's going to make that iPad compelling to those markets?
Those seem to be mutually exclusive in my mind, because businesses want larger screens and more technology and are willing to pay
education
for
needs
something
inexpensive.
Right.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. It's just what I was going to say. So
Apple is losing share right now in education. Apple is losing share in education right now to the Surface.
Yes,
right.
They are.
So raise prices. Right. Give them an industrial strength, larger screen, more expensive, more exotic, more advanced technology, 10.5 inch, and expect to sell a lot of them to education. Right.
Yeah, I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around this model. It's
the only thing so continuing to sell the what we call today the iPad Pro parentheses 9.7 inch close parentheses, continuing to sell that and having an iPad Pro 2 that was the same size with the 10.5 inch screen, same footprint with the 10.5 inch screen as opposed to the 9.7 inch screen, and having that be iPad Pro 2 parentheses 9.7 inch close parentheses, right? I'm absolutely giddy up.
That's why I think the 9.7s are going to be relegated to a low cost entry point, because they're in production. The technology is
mature. Lower cost, perhaps.
Lower cost.
Because that's what Apple has done with those.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know what I'm getting out of this is we are really trying hard to come up with reasons for this new iPad.
Yeah, within the context of the fact that there is that preponderance of evidence in Apple rumors, right? The weight of these rumors says that this is happening. Like, this is happening, folks. but I can't figure out why. And, you know, so is the answer that Apple's leadership is off its rocker, or are they seeing? I mean, you know, with iPad sales being down year over year, Apple may be wanting to go, rightly or wrongly, the performer out.
Oh, you just read my mind. And the notion of Apple going down the path of performance-centric Quadras all over again, or Quadra all over again. Holy crap. I remember years ago when we had the three lines. Oh, no, we also had LC, so we had four lines. And there was so much crossover between the four, it was nearly impossible to figure out what model was what. And
they were largely a marketing distinction.
I have the answer. I have the answer, Jeff. I just remembered something important.
Okay.
Remember during the last conference call, their Apple Q1 2017 earnings report? Mm-hmm. Tim Cook made this very oblique comment. I couldn't believe it at the time. Where in trying to fess up to lower iPad sales, he made this incidental comment that they were having supply issues. And I went, how could that be? Remember that?
Yes.
What's your premise?
So maybe Tim Cook mentioned in the last earnings call that they were having supply issues with their iPads, and which is why they couldn't ship as many as they wanted to. Maybe this 10.5 inch is a more, is a panel that's better suited to high volume, and Apple can get as many as they want.
Well, but again, that's a reason to replace the 9.7 inch, not augment the product line.
Right.
Well, that's true, but that's tactics, not procurement. I just thought I'd bring that up because I suddenly remembered what Tim Cook said about supply constraints.
What do our listeners think here?
Yeah, I want to know because what I'm hoping is that we have listeners that have better insight than we do. Let me know what you think. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. You can shoot me a tweet. That would be at TMO Daily. And you can leave comments in today's show notes, because those are all places that I'm going to look to see what you have to say. And what I'm hoping is that the three of us are missing the key factor. And at least one of you out there is right now shaking your fist at your iPhone or your speakers in your car, whatever, and saying, how can you be missing this? Well, fill me in. Tell me what it is that I'm missing, because with everything that we've just discussed, I'm still not wrapping my head around the 10.5-inch iPad.
Maybe Apple could call it the iPad really pro.
the iPad middle management.
No, the iPad, no, seriously, pro.
This time we really mean it. Yeah. Anyhow, let me know what you think, because I'm having a hard time with this. And I'm assuming that Chaffin's razor is in play here, because there has to be something that we're missing that we haven't been provided that makes all of this make sense. So,
yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, duh.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because when it gets announced, we may look at it and still say, I don't get it.
I suspect that if Apple's going to do this, that Apple has a reason for it and that it's not going the performer route. I suspect.
That's, yeah. I certainly hope you're right. And we'll know more soon, because apparently Apple is going to show this to us in early April. So we'll see. And hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is GoDaddy. And GoDaddy says their mission is to radically shift the global economy towards life-fulfilling independent ventures, which sounds all touchy-feely, warm, and fuzzy. And what they say they want to do is help their customers be the best they can by giving them the tools, insights, and people to transform their ideas and personal initiative into success. So to that end, what they have done is put together a bunch of tools that they think are going to help you make your online presence for your business as good as it can possibly be. And they have a staff that's ready to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to give you the support you need to get your business up and running online. And they want to help you save some money in the process. So here's the deal. If you think GoDaddy is the right company to help you with your online presence, then go to their website, which is godaddy.com. And when you pick out the different services that you need from them, then use the discount code TDO30 at checkout, and you're going to get 30% off of those new products and services that you order from them. So go check it out and get yourself that 30% discount, godaddy.com. And the discount code is TDO30. And thanks to GoDaddy for being our sponsor. Okay, Brian and John, we have another topic that I want to take a look at. And John, I think you might have some insight into this. You were talking today about productivity and Apple before we started the meeting, and you have some insight into this. What did you mean?
Well, actually, credit Brian. He found an article yesterday at Fast Company entitled "Why Employees at Apple and Google Are More Productive." And it's
Dave,
a crisp.
Dave, I found it. Credit where credit's due.
Ah. Okay. So it's a crisp article that talks about using your employees, your high level, high experienced, accomplished programmers in certain special kinds of ways. It talked about the loyalty factor, talked about eliminating organizational drag, talked about inspiring leaders. And I thought it was an excellent article. It hit on all the hot spots. I'm going to write an article with some thoughts on it today, not contradicting it, but reinforcing it with my own experience at Apple, with some anecdotal stories about my experiences, talking about organizational drag. I recall that I never went to any meetings that bored me or that I didn't need to go to. When I was in aerospace, often there was a lot of turf building, and managers wanted to know what was going on to protect themselves from being blindsided and to sort of, you know, look important. But at Apple, you couldn't do that. You never did it. It wasn't allowed. And the only meetings I went to were small meetings with my team for planning purposes for events and meetings with customers. And there was a technical Unix group that was a sort of a special interest group. When I was on campus, I tried to make the meetings. But you could, there was a listserv or two. So I never went to a meeting where I felt like I was wasting my time. The other thing was some organizations are Dilbert organizations. There's Dilbert cartoons plastered all over the walls. And you read one of the Dilbert cartoons each day and you go, oh yeah, that happened to me last week. Mm-hmm. In my 5 years at Apple, I never saw a single Dilbert cartoon anywhere on any wall. You didn't need them because Apple is not a Dilbert organization. The kinds of craziness and lunacy and fantasies that you see in Dilbert cartoons where you go, ah, yeah, that's corporate lunacy. I recognize that. Just doesn't exist at Apple. So that was another note.
So, and, are you saying that at least when you were at Apple, Apple is pretty good at managing their staff so that time isn't being wasted?
Exactly. Exactly. And you're working pretty hard as well. There's something magic about Apple where you're so enthusiastic that, you know, you don't try to give yourself extra work, but the enthusiasm and the situation and the tasks that are called upon to be done create this sort of self fueling energy, and that in turn creates tasks that need to be done on your own initiative, which in turn creates long work weeks by your own free will. So it's kind of an interesting formula that you're so excited and so jazzed and so strongly feeling like you're helping change the world that you want to do certain things. And then you work yourself to exhaustion and just sheer joy and enthusiasm. So the article was hitting on all cylinders on that. And part of it is having an inspiring leader. When you sense that your leaders are padding their own pockets, or that they're not working for the employee's best interests, or you don't see an exciting vision being expressed. And I was there during the Steve Jobs era, and boy, was that the time when there were strong visions being presented. When you don't see that, it's kind of, you get a little bit annoyed with the hard work you have to put in. But when you feel like you're following the footsteps of a great leader and you appreciate what they're doing and the values that they have and the example they set and how they conduct themselves, you're inspired to follow in their footsteps and do the same thing and try to live up to that standard. That also creates a sense that the work you're doing is, the hard work you're doing is worthwhile. So,
all right. So we're
and it's okay.
Yeah. We're almost out of time, and Brian has been surprisingly quiet. So I wanted to give you a chance to chime in, Brian, before we wrap up.
You know, I'm always interested in listening to what John has to say about his time at Apple. It's, you know, he's got an experience that very few people that write about Apple have. So, yeah, I was in listening mode.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fair enough. And I'm curious, do both of you or either of you feel like this is still a fair representation of Apple, or are we looking at a company that may not be managing productivity as well as it once did?
That's something that concerns me a little bit. I heard stories on the internet from employees informally that the pressure was off a little bit. Tim Cook was, he can be a very stern taskmaster. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy. I mean, he can laugh and have fun, but when it comes to work, he's pretty serious and he can put a lot of pressure on people. But he also, I think, realized that it was time to kind of back off a little bit and eliminate this aura of perhaps a little fearfulness that Steve Jobs enjoyed having. And that allowed people to sort of let their hair down and enjoy, but it also created the problem, I think.
I've got something to add to that. I believe that Tim Cook has a better grasp of work-life balance than Steve Jobs ever did.
And there
are people who may think that it is a bad thing that Apple employees aren't working 80 hours a week and loving it. But I would say that half on the Apple employees I know are working 60 hours a week.
So they've scaled way back in that sense.
Well, they have, but 60 hours a week is substantially better than 80. And so we've got two things there. There's the ongoing complaint that Apple seems to be doing less and less with more and more, mm-hmm. right? Apple's never had as big a headcount. Apple has never had more money. And yet we had 14 new products released in 2016. Mm-hmm. And this has been a topic of frequent and often complaining by us. But at the same time, I certainly don't have a problem with Apple employees actually being able to have relationships with their family and friends and having a work-life balance.
That makes sense. And asking Apple employees to stand up at media events or just applauding for them because of the time they put in, that's a really nice gesture, but it doesn't do as much for people as actually letting them spend time with their families.
Yeah.
Or go ride a bike or whatever it is that they like to do when they're not frantically working.
Yeah, but I got to finish up by saying I don't think that's the cause of the lack of productivity. The atmosphere that Tim has created is good, but I think there have been other internal issues. The allocation of time, the issues with the building of the new campus, the distraction of the Apple Car Project Titan.
Yeah, that would be small leadership team compared to all the things that are going on.
Loss of key engineers, as Mark Gurman talked about. So I think there's some other architectural or internal administrative issues that have created a problem with allocation of talent and getting products out the door. And I wouldn't attribute this easing of pressure and life balance to be 100% contributor to the lack of products being developed.
All right. Well, on that note, we're just going to have to wrap it up because we're out of time. And my guess is that as we see new products roll out this year or not, we're going to be coming back to this and potentially revising our perspective on Apple productivity. So, John, thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yep, and thank you to GoDaddy for being our sponsor today. Take advantage of that 30% off discount that they have by going to GoDaddy.com and use the code TDO30. That's GoDaddy.com. Listeners, thank you for being here, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.